say to the head, the main result was that you became rather a favourite than otherwise. That was why Jill Pole was crying on that dull autumn day on the damp little path which runs between the back of the gym and the shrubbery. And she hadn't nearly finished her cry when a boy came round the corner of the gym whistling, with his hands in his pockets. He nearly ran into her. "Can't you look where you're going?" said Jill Pole. "All right," said the boy, "you needn't start." And then he noticed her face. "I say, Pole," he said, "what's up?" Jill only made faces, the sort you make when you're trying to say something, but find that if you speak you'll start crying again. "It's them, I suppose, as usual," said the boy grimly, digging his hands further into his pockets. Jill nodded. There was no need for her to say anything, even if she could have said it. They both knew. "Now look here," said the boy. "There's no good us all." He meant well, but he did talk rather like someone beginning a lecture. Jill suddenly flew into a temper, which is quite a likely thing to happen if you've been interrupted in a cry. "Oh, go away and mind your own business," she said. "Nobody asked you to come barging in, did they? And you're a nice person to start telling us what we all ought to do, aren't you? I suppose you mean we ought to spend all our time sucking up to them and currying favour and dancing attendance on them like you do." "Oh, law," said the boy, sitting down on the grassy bank at the edge of the shrubbery and very quickly getting up again because the grass was soaking wet. His name, unfortunately, was Eustace Scrub, but he wasn't a bad sort. "Pole," he said, "is that fair? Have I been doing anything of the sort this term? Didn't I stand up to Carter about the rabbit? And didn't I keep the secret about Spivins? Under torture, too. And didn't I—" I don't know, and I don't care," sobbed Jill. Scrub saw that she wasn't quite herself yet, and very sensibly offered her a peppermint. He had one, too. Presently, Jill began to see things in a clearer light. "I'm sorry, Scrub," she said presently. "I wasn't fair. You have done all that this term."
"Well, then wash out last term if you can," said Eustace. "I was a different chap then. I was... gosh, what a little tick I was."
"Well, honestly, you were," said Jill.
"You think there's been a change then?" said Eustace.
"It's not only me," said Jill. "Everyone's been saying so. They've noticed. Eleanor Blackston heard Adela Pennyfather talking about it in our changing room yesterday, and she said, 'Someone's got hold of that Scrub kid. He's quite unmanageable this term. We shall have to attend to him next.'"
Eustace gave a shudder. Everyone at Experiment House knew what it was like being attended to by them. Both children were quiet for a moment. The drops dripped off the laurel leaves.
"Why were you so different last term?" said Jill presently.
"A lot of queer things happened to me in the holes," said Eustace mysteriously.
"What sort of things?" asked Jill.
Eustace didn't say anything for quite a long time. Then he said, "Look here, Pole, you and I hate this place about as much as anybody can hate anything, don't we?"
"I know I do," said Jill.
"Then I really think I can trust you."
"Damn good of you," said Jill.
"Yes, but this is a really terrific secret.
Pole, I say, are you good at believing things? I mean, things that everyone here would laugh at."
"I've never had the chance," said Jill, "but I think I would be."
"Could you believe me if I said I've been right out of the world, outside this world, last holes?"
"I wouldn't know what you meant."
"Well, don't let's bother about worlds, then. Supposing I told you I'd been in a place where animals can talk and where there are enchantments and dragons and, well, all the sorts of things you have in fairy tales."
Scrub felt terribly awkward as he said this and got red in the face.
"How did you get there?" said Jill.
She also felt curiously shy.
"The only way you can, by magic," said Eustace, almost in a whisper. "I was with two cousins of mine, and we were just whisked away. They'd been there before."
Now that they were talking in whispers, Jill somehow felt it easier to believe. Then suddenly a horrible suspicion came over her, and she said, so fiercely that for the moment she looked like a tigress, "If I..."